I want to read a lesson this morning from the 32nd chapter of Isaiah. I'll begin the reading with the ninth verse. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women. For the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you, make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars. Yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left. The forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places, when it shall hail coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. That's reading from verse 9, continuing through verse 20, of the 32nd chapter of Isaiah. This is an admonition to the people of God. He speaks to women, but it includes men too. The church of God is spoken of in the Bible as a woman. This lesson will apply to the congregation. It will apply to the individual. It will apply to a movement. It will apply generally. Perhaps the greatest plague that we have in our day to spirituality, deep spiritual living, is complacency, a lack of zeal about spiritual matters. And in pursuing our spiritual life, the interests of our souls, there are many things to steal our attention these days and to steal our time. One of the most common excuses that people give today for not attending service and for not participating in the worship of God and so on is, I don't have time. Well, now, God gave us all the time that we needed to do all the things He wanted us to do. And if we don't have time to serve Him and worship Him, it's just because we've been using some of the time He gave us to do that, doing some other things that He didn't want us to do. And if we would be diligent about our spiritual duties, God would bless us in our spiritual lives and also in our physical lives and in the material things of life and in every way. The Scripture said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Now, all of the other things are predicated on the prosperity of the soul. That's what we need to look after and seek for. Jesus taught us, the 6th chapter of Matthew, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things, these needful things of life, will be added unto you." Now, we have an appeal here to careless people. Even though it said women, forget that now. Speaking of women, it would apply to the church. And whatever applies to the church applies to me. I'm part of the church. And if it will apply collectively, it will apply individually too. And what we need and what is the most difficult thing for us in this day and time is to keep stirred in our souls and to keep up a spiritual interest, an interest in spiritual things. The Word of God tells us here, "Rise up, ye women." Folks, if we've been kind of laying down on the job, let's get up and get busy. Let's get to working at this thing of serving God and of doing the thing that God has cut out for us to do. "Rise up, ye women that are at ease." Is there anyone that doesn't like ease?
All right, here. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4.
That what they longed for was a little time of their own to just not have to do anything. Well, maybe we all like that. In this crowded life that we live and the hubbub that we're in and the rush and push that we all go and the pressure there is on us, perhaps we'd all long for a little time of our own to just not have to do anything. But now we don't want to project that too far. We might enjoy a little time like that. But now he says, get up and get busy. "Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters." Carelessness. Now, I dare say there's plenty of it around today. In people's spiritual lives and careless about doing the will of God and careless about walking in the light and measuring up to the truth. Just careless people. He says, take heed, give ear to my voice. Get stirred up. God wants you and me stirred up. And He wants us keeping stirred, and that's about the biggest job you'll find on your hands these days is keeping your soul stirred. You can get your ire stirred sometimes. People get stirred up in their temper sometimes. That isn't so hard. But just keep your soul stirred. That's about the biggest job that you will find on your hands. Now we are told in Amos, the 6th chapter, in the 1st verse, he says, "Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion." Now that's in the church. People that get in at ease in the church. Do you know anyone like that? Have you observed anybody in your time like that? At ease. Don't want to get involved. Carrying no responsibility. taking no active part in the work of the Lord, just don't want to get involved. Somebody told me down south one time when I was admonishing them about their slackness in their Christian duties, and they wasn't as attentive to the church services as they should be, and they should accept some responsibility, and I was wanting somebody to take some particular place in the Sunday school, and you know what they told me? Said, oh, we don't want to get involved. Said, we don't want to be tied down. We want to be free to just go here and there. Well, the Lord bless their hearts.
Yes, I see.
But at least I knew two people like that. And I may know some more. That are people like that. Just taking no active part or burden or responsibility in the work of God, just careless daughters. And now woe to them that are at ease in Zion, trust in the mountain of Samaria, and which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. Verse 3 says, ye that put away, far away, the evil day, and cause the seed of violence to come near. I wonder if we have seen people just kind of pushing off the evil day yonder. Oh, we've heard about this, the judgment coming, Christ returning, and all these kind of things all of our lives, and it's all just like it was from the beginning. Peter said there'd be people like that, just put the evil day far off yonder and bring the day of violence near. Jesus, in the 24th chapter of Matthew, the closing out of that chapter, he spoke about the good and the wise servant, that the Lord would make ruler over his house to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom, when his Lord cometh, shall find him so doing. Now God has you and me here for something. We're not just here to warm a bench. We're not just here to fill a place in the meeting house. He has something else for us to do. He has some burdens for us to bear in the work of God. And he has some reading and praying and studying and meditating for us to do to build up ourselves and strengthen ourselves so that we'll be qualified to bear burdens. And he has a work for us to do in the church. Every one of us. There are no drones in this. Every one of us has a work to do in the church. Now, he's got us here to nourish one another, strengthen one another, edify one another, give one another meat in due season. Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
All right, he said, blessed is that servant whom when his Lord cometh, he'll find so doing. He'll be on the job. He'll be nourishing, strengthening, encouraging, blessing the souls of the people around him and feeding their souls and edifying their souls and encouraging one another in the ways of the Lord and in our trials and tests and burdens of life, that we'll stand by one another. He said, lift up the hands that hang down, strengthen the feeble knees, just stand by one another and support one another. Well, blessed is that servant whom when his Lord cometh, he'll find so doing. But he told about another class of servants too that falls in this category here, that put far off the evil day and bring the day of violence near. He said, but and if that wicked servant will say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, put far off the evil day, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant will come in an hour when he thinks not, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. It seems that we find God's word being proved to us in many different categories. And Solomon said, because judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of men are set in them to do evil. Seems like we just lapse back and let things run their course, and this gets by and that gets by, and we just kind of drift along because things aren't executed speedily by the hand of God. And the hearts of men are set in them to do evil and just lapse in their Christian duties and so on. Now, he said here in verse 10, 32nd chapter of Isaiah, many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. The vintage is defined as a season's yield of grapes from a vineyard. Now, how many could afford to just lose a whole crop? Some of you folks farm, some of you have farmed in the past, and we know about farming at least. How many farmers could just well afford to lose a whole crop? When he said the vintage shall fail, that's a whole crop, a whole yield of grapes for that year. The gathering will not come. I suppose every farmer suffers some loss every year. And he doesn't get all that he might get under other circumstances when adverse circumstances come in. But it isn't very often they lose a full crop, is it? But now he's talking here about just a complete failure. Now, folks, let us not overlook the fact he's talking about his people, about the church. And the church has a mission here as a soul-saving institution and as a propagator of the gospel truth. And we can be a complete failure if we just get complacent enough, careless enough, rocked back on our heels enough, settled on our lees enough, taking things easy enough, we can be a complete failure and meet every Tuesday night for prayer meeting and every Friday night for Bible study and Sunday morning for Sunday school and morning worship and Sunday evening and never miss a service and still be just a complete failure. Takes a little more than that to be a success in propagating the gospel effectively and in being a soul-saving institution. Now, God warned us in the 8th chapter of Amos, verses 11 to 13, about a time of famine. He said it wasn't a famine for bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing of the word of the Lord. I mentioned in the Sunday school this morning about a man that came in where I was visiting a sick man in the hospital at Simi, California. And he came in to visit this man also. Well, the three of us got in a conversation there. This man attended some fashionable church over in the San Fernando Valley, and in the course of our conversation, he said, "Our preacher hasn't read one text from the Bible or quoted any statement from the Bible in 3 years." I said, "Well, what does he preach?" "Oh," said, "he preaches history and current events and social activities and things of common interest. But he hasn't referred to the Bible in 3 years." Now, I'd call that a famine, wouldn't you? I'd call that a downright famine of hearing of the word of the Lord. Now, it's hard for me to believe, but that man told me that. And I don't think you believe it either. But modernism's a terrific thing, folks. It's a terrible thing. It's destructive to spiritual life, and spiritual life will not survive long under the influence and effects of modernism. And that's what that is. That's just cropping out of modernism. Getting away from God's Word, the simple things of the gospel, and so on, just a famine of hearing of the word of the Lord. Now that may be an extreme case there, but there's plenty of it all over the land. Diluted gospel. Compromised gospel. Doing away with different things in God's word. Well, it didn't mean this and it didn't mean that. And failing to preach some of the things that are in God's word is just a famine in our day of hearing of the word of the Lord. Then he said in verse 11, "Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare and gird sackcloth upon your loins." Now, sackcloth is significant of mourning, deep grief. And folks, when we find our lives short of what God would have them to be, when we find ourselves lacking in spirituality, in spiritual depth, in faith, in power, in victory, in grace, in our lives to meet our problems and overcome them, we should be greatly and deeply grieved at our lack of ability to be what God's calling on us to be. James put it this way, 4th chapter of James, about verse 9, he says, "Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he shall lift you up." Now, he'd been describing some pretty undesirable things in the verses before that. Wars and fightings and envy and jealousy and worldliness and worldly attachments and so on. And now he says, "Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Folks, when we find ourselves lacking in ability to be what God is calling upon us to be, and any of these undesirable and evil things manifesting themselves in our lives at all, little or much, that are holding us back when we'd like to go forward and pulling us down when we'd like to rise, we need to get concerned and burdened about that. Amen. We need to get stirred in our souls. Okay. We need to get shaken up, and shaken up good. Oh, I pray, I don't know how many times I've prayed, but it's been way yonder. You've heard me pray that. My wife hears me pray that at our family altar numbers of times. Shake people's souls to the very foundation of them. Just shake them up good. We need to get shaken, stirred. He says, get troubled. Why? You're careless. Because of your carelessness. When you find yourself letting down a little on your zeal, neglecting your Christian duties a little, get troubled about that. That's a danger point in your life. Gird you with sackcloth. Mourning. Deep grief. They shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. You ever hear anybody talk about the old days, how it was in the old days? And I'd like to see that power and grace and glory and victory like they had in the old days. Well, some of the folks are nodding their head. They've heard some talk like that. Well, I've heard too much of it for my comfort. I don't like that kind of talk. But there's a reason for that kind of talk. There's a reason why people lament over a lack of something. And he said, they'll lament for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine, for the gathering, for the harvest, for the fruits, the lack of them. You and I should never be satisfied being short of fruit-bearing Christians. Amen. Producing fruit in our lives. The Word of God says in the 11th chapter of Proverbs, verse 30, He said, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. God wants you and me to be fruit-bearing Christians. And He said they'll not cease from bearing fruit, but they'll bear their fruit every month. That's ever-bearing, isn't it? We have ever-bearing strawberries. And they just bear, and then they bear some more, and then they bear some more. Just continue bearing. Yet they don't bear every month. God has a better system than that. He's got things fixed up for you and me so we can root down in Him and His grace and just be prolific in our fruit bearing and bear fruit every month. Never cease from bearing fruit. Isn't that great? Nothing to lament over. Today should be the best day of our lives. Well, you kind of look at me about that. Maybe you think it isn't, but I still say it should be. Today should be the best day of our lives. And we should have more power and grace and glory and victory today than we've ever had at any time in our lives. More faith, more fruit, more ability to meet our problems in life and overcome them. The 13th verse, upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Solomon gives us a little example of this, a little lesson on this. In the 24th chapter of Proverbs, verses 30 through 34, he said, I passed by the field of the slothful man, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, thorns had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall was broken down. It had just collapsed, lost its fruit-bearing ability. Thorns come up in there, covered the whole face thereof. He said, I looked and I considered well. A little more folding of the hands, a little more sleep, a little more slumber. At ease. Careless. As was the matter with him, the thorns came up and choked out his vineyard. Covered the face of his field. Jesus gave us a lesson on that in the 13th chapter of Matthew in verse 22, explaining the parable of the sower and the seed, and some fell among the thorns. He said that those that fell among the thorns represented hearts that the Word of God fell into. And it sprang up quickly. I've seen folks like that. Didn't look like they was going all the way today. Going to outrun everybody that had been there before them. Just start out under a full head of steam. But he said the cares of this life. And the deceitfulness of riches and other things. Creeping in, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. I just noticed that in particular last night. He becomes unfruitful. We can easily, in this day and time, get too involved in the things that sap spirituality and take the time away from our Christian duties, and we become unfruitful. He said they'll lament for the teats and the fruitful fields and for the vintage and so on. Lamenting over that, it isn't being produced. But the reason it isn't being produced is because the thorns have come in. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, other things creeping in has choked out the word, and we have become unfruitful. Now, that isn't very pretty, is it? We don't shout and rejoice much over that. But now he offers us a remedy for it. Something that will cure the whole situation. He said it would be that way, and the reason it is that way is until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. Thank you, Lord. To be filled with the Spirit, to be living deeply spiritual lives, to be abounding in the grace and love of Christ, to be full of faith and of the Holy Ghost is a cure-all for all this kind of a situation. Then he said, when the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, the wilderness will be a fruitful field. The fruitful field will be counted for a forest. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. The work of righteousness shall be peace. The effects of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Satisfaction. Does away with the lamenting. Does away with the saying, why are the former days better than these? Because the Holy Spirit filling your life and mine will make these days good too. Amen. And fill us with the power and the grace and the glory and the peace of God in our hearts and in our minds. And folks, let me tell you this, when you're at peace in your own heart and peace in your mind and peace between you and God, you can be at peace one with another. You can't very well be at peace one with another until you are at peace with God and have peace in your own heart, in your own mind. The works of righteousness shall be peace, and the effects of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in peaceable habitations and in sure dwellings and quiet resting places. When? Oh, when everything's just going lovely and everybody's patting you on the back and praise you for everything you do and all of that, well, then it'll go pretty well. No, he said it'd go like that with a hailstorm going on, just beating everything down all around you. When it shall hail coming down on the forest, you can still dwell in a peaceable habitation, a quiet resting place, sure dwellings, in confidence, in strength, and abounding in the grace and love of Christ, and the ability to meet your problems in life and overcome them. The ability to maintain peace in your heart. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. He knew we was going to live in a world of trouble. He knew we'd be surrounded by trouble. God said in His Word that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. The world's in trouble. Maybe you're walking in the midst of trouble. But He said, keep it out of your heart. Don't let your heart get troubled. He wants you and me to be at peace in our hearts, in our minds, settled down on the ground that we stand on, sure dwellings, assured in our hearts of the faith by which we live. And the faith that has brought us to where we are. And it's grace that has brought us safe this far, and grace will lead us home, and we're secure in that. In a sure dwelling place. When it shall hail, hailstorm going on, beating everything down around you, destroying everything. You just stand right there with the hailstorm going on and dwell in a safe and secure place. The Spirit of the Lord will do wonders for people's lives. It'll stir your soul. It'll produce fruit in your life, the fruits of the Spirit. And not just a little, but much. Hereby is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. It'll produce much fruit in our lives. All God wants us to do is to get stirred in our souls. Be sincere about what we're doing. Be in earnest about living for God and zealous in our Christian duties. And it'll change the face of everything for a person or a church or a movement or whatever it is that may have just been a complete failure. The vintage failed. A full, complete crop failure, a drought, a famine. But the Spirit of the Lord will change the whole thing in your life or in your church or in your community or wherever it is. Just let the Spirit of the Lord get in there and get to operating, and it'll convert that wilderness, that solitary place, that desert into a flower garden and a fruitful field.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.